Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And welcome. Thank you, first of all, to Sue Cohn for bringing us into a peaceful and restful state so we can allow the Shabbat to enter our souls. We're very grateful that you continue to offer your musical gifts to your community. So thank you. Welcome to our February birthdays and anniversaries. Do we have any in the house? I see somebody pointing to his parents. You may be up here by yourselves, I don't know. We'll find out. This is the season of love. So it's a wonderful month to be born in, to get married in. And Valentine's Day is my half birthday, which has been celebrated for many, many years by my parents. So maybe I can take half a bag with me tonight. And I did bring my Valentine's Day kippah, so I am already. It's important to be seasonally appropriate. So thank you all for being here on a three-day weekend. You are the core. The core is here. So whether you are here to remember a loved one, to pray for healing, to sing our prayers with gusto, to express gratitude for our blessings, whatever brings you here this evening, we are very glad that you have come. So we will continue with candle lighting on page 11. And I would like, oh, there you are, you moved. Dennis has put hours and hours and hours into this building over the last few weeks while many things went wrong. So to honor Dennis, to honor Judy, I would like them to come forward to light our Shabbat candles for us. So thank you both for all you do to keep us, keep our congregation lighted.
As these Shabbat candles give light to all who behold them, so may we, by our lives, give light to all who behold us. As their brightness reminds us of the generations of Israel who have kindled light, so may we, in our own day, be among those who kindle light.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu L'hadlik Ner Shel Shabbat.
Amen.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Shel Shabbat.
We welcome the Shabbat bride into our midst with Lecha Dodi, page 14.
Lecha Dodi.
Standing for Baruch Hu, page 17. God, I thank you. You created this world full of beauty and love, peace and wonder, life and hope. You formed morning, evening, the sun and the moon, the water that I drink, and the fresh air that I breathe. You created me, my mind, my heart, my spirit. All that I am is because of who you made me to be. The best gift you gave me is freedom. You built a world in which I can learn and grow, a world that is never completed, so that I may continue to enrich it. For all of this, for all of your creations, I thank you and praise you, God. The bottom of page 19. Blessed is God who chose to enlighten us with the teachings, wisdom, and values of Torah. We in turn continue to choose to open our minds, hearts, and spirit and become one people bound by a sacred book of law, our Torah. In our life's journey,
may we seek to understand and uphold your teachings. May we continue to strengthen our commitment to our people Israel and strengthen the bond of generations past through Torah.
Before we sing Shema, our central prayer of God's oneness through all of life, let's just take a moment for a couple of deep breaths, feeling the holiness around us and in us. Shema's on page 22.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchut.
You may be seated. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha uvechol ma'odecha, v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, al levavcha. V'shinan tam levanecha v'dibar tabam. V'shiv techa b'veitecha uv'lech techa v'aderech uv'shoch b'cha uv'kumecha. Ukshartam la'ot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot bein einecha. Uchtavtam al mezuzot b'teicha uvish arecha. Lema'an tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai v'item kedoshim l'elohechem. Ani Adonai Elohechem, asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, lihiyot lachem l'elohim. Ani Adonai Elohechem, the bottom of page 23. Love God with every heartbeat, with every breath, with every conscious act. Keep in mind the words I command you today. Teach them to your children. Let these mitzvot guide you along the path of life. May they instruct you in your daily tasks. Keep them in the forefront of your vision. Place them at the doorway of your house so that upon entering or departing, they remind you to live by my mitzvot in order that you may reflect on God's holiness through your life. The Eternal One led you out of Egypt to be your God. The Eternal One alone is your God. Adonai, our God, you freed us from bondage in the land of Egypt.
With courage, commitment, and in community, we crossed the sea and we rejoiced.
We seek redemption again, Adonai, from the bondage of hatred, the slavery of poverty, and the evil of violence in our world.
Give us the courage to toil for wisdom, justice, and understanding. May we rejoice again in community, giving voice to one another in peace and harmony.
Prayer is Hashkivenu, which is a pretty specific prayer. It's for protection and safety during the nighttime. Well, since I just came back from our Litakein weekend, a weekend in case you did not really carefully read all of my message today that was sent out by email. Litakein is the weekend put on by the Religious Action Center, which is the Reform Movement's advocacy center and voice in Washington, where hundreds, every other week during the legislative session, hundreds of teens come together to learn about how their Jewish values align with social issues and where they are empowered and given the knowledge and the skills to actually advocate for a cause to their own legislators. And hunger was an issue that was very much emphasized early in the weekend, and I thought of this prayer because so many Americans, 1 in 8 Americans are food insecure, meaning at certain times of the year, those many people are going to bed without enough food. Nearly 13 million of these are children. So as we sing our prayer for protection and safety at night, we pray for ourselves, we pray for our loved ones, and we also pray for all of those who go to sleep hungry, unsafe, in need. As Jews, we pray and we also pledge to do what we are able to bring greater peace and safety and comfort to our world. Hashkivenu is in your service folder. Also a time to remember our blessings and the joys of life. And of course, we like to express that here with Veshamru, page 27.
Shemaim b'yenta aret b'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shaban la'asot et ha-shaban l'dorot ha-merim olam u'vayom ha-shvi'i shavat v'yinafash shavat v'yinafash Nafash Shavat Vayinafash Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Et HaShavat La'asot Et HaShavat L'dorot Ha'meri Olam Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Et HaShavat
to pray the tefillah, the central portion of our service. Please rise. We continue on page 29. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Velohei Avotenu V'Imotenu, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Velohei Yaakov, Elohei Sarah, Elohei Rivka, Elohei Rachel, Velohei Leah, Ha'el Hagadol Hagibur V'Hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, V'Konei Hakol, V'zocher chaste avot v'imahot. Umevi g'ula livenei v'nehem. Lema'an shemo ba'ahava. Melech ozer moshia umagen. Baruch ata Adonai. Magen Avraham v'ezrat Sarah. Me, my family, the Jewish people, and Torah. A tree of life. Roots holding on to the past, branches reaching to the future, leaves dancing like children, growing and changing with the seasons, teaching peace, caring, sharing, tolerance, understanding, from parent to child, from generation to generation. The top of page 32. Our lives are blessed because of the holiness of God. From the beauty of the earth and sky to the beauty we have within us, God is everywhere. God has given us the ability to realize how precious life is, and for that we are grateful. Baruch Ata Adonai, Ha'el HaKadosh. Blessed are you, the Holy God. You may be seated. A blessing for the Shabbat day on the bottom of page 34. As the Sabbath descends, it enfolds us in its mantle of peace. It brings to us the precious gift of time, time to embrace family and friends, to reflect more deeply on the meaning and purpose of our lives, and to worship the beauty of holiness. May every Shabbat be a sanctuary of love and devotion, bringing contentment to our hearts, happiness to our homes, and blessings to our people and all humanity. We continue with a prayer for Hoda'ah, for gratitude, on page 37. We thank you, God, for the world you have given us. With all its beauty and all its imperfections, with all its miracles and with all its tragedies, you have given us this gift, this spark of your creative powers, to make our world a better place, to improve ourselves along with our world. You have given us our life's work. You have created us in your image to do your work here in this world. For all these blessings, we give our thanks. Peace and safety is what everyone prays for, longs for, works for. We bring peace when we bridge a gap between us and another. We bring peace when we help others open their minds and hearts, even if in some small way. As we pray for peace, our prayers are with, among others, those affected by the workplace shooting today in Illinois. Sometimes with events, there feels like there are no words to say. So then we lean even more heavily upon the traditional words of our blessings, of the prayers of our ancestors. We continue with the singing of Sim Shalom, praying for peace to be upon us and all the world. Page 40. Our prayers go out to all of those in need of spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. On the back cover of your service folder are many very beloved friends and family members of our members of our congregation or members of our congregation, all who are looking to feel the prayers of our congregation, and many people do say it makes a difference to them knowing that we are praying for them. For them, for all of those in our hearts and our thoughts, we join in our prayer for healing, Misha Berach, page 45.
Oh.
for Abraham, le'avotenu, bless those in need of healing with refuah shlema.
Continue silently with the prayers of our own hearts. Thank you. When I was growing up in Northwest New Jersey, the worst thing you could say about another synagogue was, "Oh, it's such a fashion show." And one of the best things you could say about a congregation, which we would say about ourselves, and it was true, is, "Oh, the people are so down to earth, it's so not a fashion show." Of course, the idea that a synagogue could potentially and negatively be a fashion show doesn't mean that we value people dressing sloppily or inappropriately in services. God forbid, this is TBS. Instead, the inference in the comment that synagogue is a fashion show is that the group seems to value wealth, status, and appearance over substance. A fashion show synagogue is one where the feeling is that many seem to be there primarily to see and be seen, to judge whether other congregants are dressed in the most upscale of clothing and accessories, and not primarily to connect with God and community and Jewish values. So it seems odd that our Torah portion this week goes on for pages about the fashions of the high priests, the special group, descendants of Moses' brother Aaron, whose religious duty is, at that time, to offer sacrifices and connect with God for the sake of all of the people of Israel. And what garments and accessories they were. So on the front cover of your service folder is a very simplified version of all their various clothing items. They were actually much more grand than this. And I will, as a sidebar, I did see that Walmart had on their website apparently a Halloween costume, which is a Kohen Gadol, a high priest costume. So I had to put that in your service folder too. So that's on the inside. What a beautiful priestly outfit it is. 8 awesome and luxurious pieces. I don't even think a Wilshire Boulevard temple in LA or a Temple Emmanuel in New York could compete. Precious gems and gold frames on a breastplate. Gold, blue, purple, and crimson yarns. Fine twisted linen. Braided chains of pure gold. Golden bells and pomegranates all around the hem. Finely embroidered sashes, all created by the most gifted artists that could be found. A regal fashion statement indeed. You may be asking, well, why? Does the Torah give us reasons for this? Well, the Torah actually gives us 2 different reasons for this very special priestly attire. It says, 1, it is Lechavod ul tifaret, which some of you may recognize from the Haftarah blessings if you've had a bar bat mitzvah within the last few years. Lechavod ul tifaret is for honor and for beautiful glory. That seems to make sense. The garb is like a priestly power suit. One would certainly know you were in the presence of greatness and holiness and grandeur if you were to see someone in this dress strolling through the courtyard before the tabernacle or before the holy temple. Torah reason number 2 from Exodus 38. Aaron shall wear the golden bells all around the hem of his robe so that the sound is heard when he walks into the sanctuary before God, when he walks in the sanctuary before God, and when he walks out, so that he may not die. Well, that got heavy real fast. And if any of you ever watch the Real Housewives franchises on Bravo TV, you know that wearing the wrong accessory might get you shunned from your social group, but it usually is not a capital offense. So these 2 reasons are the only ones that appear in the Torah for why this incredibly elaborate clothing ensemble must be worn by the high priests. But as I often tell my students in class, Torah is not equal to Judaism. Torah is our precious earliest collection of stories and values, but Judaism is how our leaders and our people and our rabbis and our teachers have interpreted and lived and understood Torah over many centuries into our modern day. So through the centuries, not surprisingly, there are a number of interpretations of God's fashion requirements for the high priests, even though we are a heritage that generally rejects a focus on outward appearance. As it says in the biblical book of Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And in this one teaching from Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart, we get our answer. We are not God. The ideal for humanity would be to only see what is inside. As we learned from an early rabbi, Elisha ben Abuye, don't look what's on the wine jug, judge it by what's inside. Which is not how I pick wine at Trader Joe's, but oh, a pretty tree. People are not God, and we human beings live in a world of the material, of the tangible, a world where sight and sound play a large role in how we understand the world. So the priestly garments are necessary for human beings to understand the great holiness and grandeur of the priestly task, connecting with God through offering prayer and sacrifices. It is the people, not God, who need a reminder in our material world of our responsibility to join the community and lift up the holiness in all of our lives. Some of our Jewish commentators have noted the heft of the priestly garb. The weight of the gold and the stones hang heavy on the priest's shoulders, not just physically, but spiritually. The special clothes, the heavy accessories, may signal to the high priest that all of Israel needs him to be responsible, to follow the correct procedures, to carry out his task with the correct kavanah, with the correct spirit and intention, to serve as an ethical role model. The weight of the people's relationship with God rests, quite literally, on his shoulders. And what about the sound of the bells that are heard when he walks? Now, we did hear in the Torah of the risk of death if he does not hear them, and I don't know if this was actually something they believed in the times of the Torah, but certainly Jews from that later time and onward did not think this was necessarily a capital offense, but did understand that there was something very, very important about the priest wearing these small, delicately crafted bells on the bottom of his garment. So some compare the tinkling of the bells when the priest enters and exits the presence of God to the blast of a trumpet when someone is brought in, escorted in to a king on a throne in a palace. When you come into the presence of great holiness, you need to be announced. The bells could have been simply a sign of great respect, as in those times may have been shown to a king, or maybe a queen too. One last interpretation that comes from the rabbis of the Talmud, each piece of clothing actually makes atonement for something that that item is similar to. So in other words, the priest gains forgiveness for himself, and some might say for all of Israel, by wearing that particular item. So example, his turban piled high atones for being arrogant or acting high and mighty. The beautiful tunic, similar to the multicolored coat of Joseph, given to him by his father Jacob, atones for and protects against bloodshed. Bloodshed like that in the story of Joseph in the Torah. And the bells? Some say the bell, sounded by the clapper hitting against the side walls, is like a tongue clicking in the mouth. The bells help gain forgiveness for Lashon Hara, using our words for gossip or for hurt. There are many interpretations through the centuries for all of the priestly fashion items, but what does it mean for us? Is there a lesson here that we can take away? There has not been a temple priesthood in Judaism since the year 70, but our Torah teaches we are a kingdom of priests. The Jewish community has the responsibility to be holy, to live godly Jewish values, to carry our world forward in a positive and loving way. It is now on us. As if to put a highlighter mark through this point, it is interesting that this is the only Torah portion, so this portion, Tetzaveh, it's the only portion in Exodus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that does not have Moses' name in it. It's almost as if God is speaking not through Moses, but directly to us. Just as the priests needed visual or auditory reminders that they have a responsibility to live as ethical role models, doing their best to make solid Jewish choices and living Jewish lives, so do we need to think about our reminders. What helps each of us remember to not just do what is easy in the short term or that works in the short term, but to do instead what brings goodness in the long term? What reminds each of us to live good lives? Is it maybe seeing a picture of parents or grandparents, looking in the eyes of a child or hearing his or her voice, seeing Shabbat candles glowing on a kitchen counter or on the stand in our own sanctuary? Is it perhaps a sentimental keepsake from a very respected friend or family member? Is it sitting in our beautifully decorated sanctuary, hearing ancient prayers and singing joyous songs? Maybe it's reading a real or online newspaper in the morning and knowing that our world is in need of each of us. Is it looking in the mirror in the morning and wanting to look again that night, knowing you have a clear conscience? I believe one message of this week's Torah portion is that we need to determine for ourselves what is a physical reminder that each of us has to remind us that we have a responsibility to serve with godly values each day. Not to do what is expedient, but what is right. To do good not because it brings reward, but because it is what we do. Remember that our early rabbis pictured the priestly clothing as a way for the priest to gain forgiveness for making normal human mistakes? Just as the priests were not expected to be perfect, we are also not expected to be perfect. It is, however, the expectation that we are aware of our mistakes and that we learn from them. And remember, the bells don't sound when a priest talks the talk. The high priest's bells only sound when the priest walks the walk. May each of us remember that it is our task to walk the priestly walk, as we are a kingdom of priests. We also remember that with great honor comes responsibility. Ken Yiratzon, may this be God's will. And we continue with Aleinu. And I would like to call up to open the ark anyone who's under confirmation age. That's a new one. Usually we go to bar and bat mitzvah, but we kind of grab a couple more if we say confirmation. So come on forward. Page 53 is Aleinu. Please rise. be seated. That is some good gentle door opening, arc door opening and closing. Page 57. We all stand together to remember those whom we have loved and lost, to remember those whose lives were taken because of who they were or what they believed, to remember those who perished in the Holocaust or by acts of terrorism, to remember those who died in service of our country or of our people, to remember those who have no one left to say Kaddish, to remember all their lives and the blessings they brought to the world. We all stand together. On this Shabbat, we remember fondly our beloved members who have died within the past year: Betty Davison, Donna Courtney. We remember the losses in the last 30 days for our members: Alex Braverman, friend of Rebecca Copeland; Dr. Karen Horan, cousin of Dr. Bob Reed; Mark Langstein, father of Hannah Langstein and beloved member of TBS; Joyce Levinson, aunt of David Kleinman; Danny Kramer, father of Jake Kramer; Steve Levy, friend of Alan Berkowitz; Harvey Pressman, uncle of Sharon Ritchie; Michael Weinshell, father of Seth Weinshell; Melvin Rotman, father of Jeff Rotman; Rhonda Carter, friend of Rebecca Copeland; David Dietz, friend of Sharon Jenser; Shirley Singer, mother of Ed Gelman. Our hearts are with you during this difficult week of Shiva. And Melanie Brose, friend of Frank Cohn. And we also think of all those killed today in the shooting in Aurora, Illinois. We remember this week our beloved members, Judy Eichel and Rose Sokolov. And we remember these dear loved ones of our community whose yard site falls this week: Doris Braun, Sholem Braun, Burton Weissman, Charlotte Cohen, Joseph Rosado, Richard Sands, Saul Hirsch, Charna Holzman, Benjamin Jennett, Sadie Myers, Bob Rosen, Sylvia Strasberg, Danielle Gabay, Sarah Perlin Resnick, Avi Gross Schaefer, Barbara Rager, Joseph Spector, Minnie Tunick, Mr. Herbert Cohn, Jackie Girding, Shirley Dettelbach, Philip Cohen, Ricardo Beltran, Gilbert Dodell, Julian Ahrens, Samuel Schleifstein, Arthur Feinberg, Ashley McIntosh, Irvin Friedman, Kevin Fuller, A.J. Goldenthal, Arnold Vogel, Sidney Burzak, Florence Drasnin, Lillian Miller, John Reeves, Bessie Wertzman. We honor all of their memories as we together recite our traditional prayer of remembrance, Kaddish on page 60. Please rise. Yitgadal v'yitkadash Shemei Rabba, v'alma divarach rutei v'yamlich malchutei, b'chayechon uv'yomechon v'chaye d'cho beit Yisrael, b'agala uv'izman kari v'imru amen. Yehe Shemei Rabba mevarach l'alam olmei almaya, yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitroman v'yitnase, V'yatadar v'yatale v'yatalal shmei d'kudsha b'richu. Le'ela min kol b'rachata v'shirata, tushbachata v'nechemata, damiran b'alma v'imru amen. Yehe shlama rabba min shamaya, v'chayim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. O se shalom b'mromav, hu ya'ase shalom, Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru, amen.
V'imru, 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 amen. V'imru, 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 amen.
You may be seated. We move from this prayer and time of remembrance to embracing the joy that is birthdays and anniversaries in February. So Joshua already outed you guys, so I know you're coming up for something. I don't know if it's birthdays or anniversary. Is there anyone else with a February birthday or anniversary? Oh my goodness, you're gonna get so much attention. Get an extra bag. So Rabbi Crystal, as almost all of you know, has brought this tradition of the chuppah. Someone else. There's a couple more. Okay, we're multiplying. So if four people who can hold the chuppah pole want to come forward, we can put the birthday anniversary chuppah over you. It's also a spatial ability test. Okay, everyone under. So, birthdays or anniversaries?
Birthday.
Figured your husband's out there.
Birthday. Oh.
Birthday.
Birthday.
Wow. So how close are you guys' birthdays? Okay. So, Joshua, that means a lot of gifts all at one time, right? So this is the month of love, and it represents how loved all of you are and all the love you have already brought into the world and how much more there is to come in the year ahead. May this be a year ahead of blessing, of joy, of love, of opportunities to do good and fulfilling things that bring our world and our community and our families closer to those ideals for which we pray.
May God keep you and bless you and guard you in a joyous year ahead for all of you. Mazel tov. And we have more bags. Well, you saw the ones from last year. So. Thank you, Huppa holders. And I'm going to have them stay up here for Kiddush. Just get the arrangements here. And who would like to hold the picture?
And everyone can come forward. Kiddush is on page 61. Please rise. We'll just go right into the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam morei pri hagafen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher tishanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu v'shabbat kosho b'ahava u'ratzon. I love how Josh was so happy getting to just stand out in the congregation while his parents have to stand up here and do Kiddush. So, pre-bar mitzvah.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Neil Seiden, President of Temple B'nai Shalom. Thank you to all who helped make this service possible. Rabbi Rappaport, our ushers, our greeters, Oneg helpers, Security Watch, for all your support of our service. Thank you, Dr. Sue Cohn, for beginning our service tonight with musical meditations, or as a physician, perhaps musical medications. Either way, it's a beautiful way to start services. Welcome back, Rabbi Rappaport, from your weekend with our confirmation students at Latakin from the RAC. It's really one of the highlights of the confirmation program. I was also saddened, thank you also, Rabbi, for the interesting sermon tonight. I was saddened to note that while Walmart does carry that great costume, it says it's out of stock. It's very disappointing.
Next Halloween, when there's a big run on the
Halloween, I'm going to wear it for Friday night service.
Or Purim.
Purim. So as always, please be sure to read the weekly email. A couple of things to note from it. The last focus group session is up, and as I look at the congregation tonight, I think most of you have been there. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, see me. Also, 7th to 10th graders, there will be a session for you as well on March 17th, 12:30 to 2, to give you a little incentive to stay after religious school. A pizza lunch will be served. Please send an email to Alan Berkowitz to RSVP, and surprise, his email is in the weekly email. And join us, let's see, if you are free on the 17th of March, please join us that evening for Amir Tibone. It's in your folder. Bob Budoff is here tonight. Thanks to Bob and Sheila, who are sponsoring the event, with the Israel Committee and the Life Committee supporting it. It should be a really fun evening. Even if you don't come to hear Amir speak, come for Sheila's baking. The Budoffs are providing refreshments that night as well. Thank you. And also Purim is coming. The 23rd of March is the Purim Spiel with pre- and post-adult activities. That is a celebration. So wishing him a warm weekend, a peaceful Shabbat, and a good next week. Shabbat Shalom.
So because it is a three-day weekend where a lot of people travel, I thought, now let me just check that I did this. Yes, I chose for our closing song the Traveler's Prayer, Tefillat HaDerech, so that all your travels may be good and safe and fun during this coming weekend. So if you would like, and you have the consent of the person next to you, you may stand and sway during the song, but it is not required. Tefillat HaDerech is on page 64. May you be blessed with a Shabbat and a week ahead of peace, of safety, of opportunities to both talk your talk and walk your walk. Shabbat Shalom.